What if you could measure your employer brand as a single number? What if you could track it over time? We do that. It's called the Employer Brand Index. Continuously measuring what's positive and negative about you as an employer from a candidate perspective is the key. The Employer Brand Index helps you measure your employer brand and validates your perceptions or draw up a few surprises, both good and bad. The Employer Brand Index works best when done over time to see how things are changing. Some companies use it as a baseline before they launch their EVP. Others add in some talent competitors to see how they stack up. Stay on top of your employer brand. Go to employerbrandindex.co to learn more.
Hey, son, Sveisan, it's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by your friends here at Link Humans, where we do data-driven employer brand insights. This week, we are going to talk about how to gain sponsors to launch employer brand campaigns, how to drive the brand. We're looking at how to start it all off and also embedding some design thinking into the process. So let's start the show. Hey, Thomas, how's it going?
Good, excellent.
Fantastic. So please let our listeners know who you are, what you do, and what brings you on the podcast today.
Yeah, so my name is Thomas Renaud, and as you can hear, I'm French, so very strong French accent. I come from the south of France, Saint-Tropez, and I moved to Canada 10 years ago. I lived in Asia, I can speak Korean, and I was always interested into employer brand. This was my passion. I work for a company called Ritchie Brothers, which is the biggest online heavy equipment company in the world. And I also contract at IDEO, a design thinking firm, during my weekends.
I looked up Ritchie Brothers. So a quick description is it's like an online auction for heavy equipment. So almost like the eBay of your industry.
Correct. So we have online and offsite as well. So we've got auctions everywhere in the world. And we auction, again, big machinery, heavy equipment.
Interesting. And how did Employer Brand come about at the company? And I guess your role as well. And tell us the evolution.
I mean, have you heard of Ritchie Brothers before?
No, I had not, no.
So that's the power of branding or the lack of power. I think the awareness piece is very important. And when we look for talent in a growing environment, such as our industry, it's very, very important to get highly qualified talent. To tell the story, to build the voice of Ritchie Brothers, we basically worked with hiring managers and different departments to ensure that we create an EVP, so a value proposition, to really identify the needs and then build a value proposition around that. That's how we established our brand identity and activated our branding.
Nice. And I know you like to apply design thinking with this and sort of integrating stakeholders. Tell us how you use design thinking in this.
Absolutely. Think of it as reverse reengineering. So people usually start employer branding, I guess, thinking about filling the talents that we need. I think the key question is really to assess the status and also better understand the needs. So using empathy, this is very important, and being vulnerable because we don't have all the answers. So it's really asking questions, framing questions around what are your needs, what are the talents, what is the strategic plan in the next few years, and how might we help you to develop and enable the team to attract the right candidates? Again, reverse engineering, meaning get the stakeholders together and really have a conversation around how might we really work to define an EVP and enable the stakeholders before we actually launch. That I think it's very important to ask those questions. You know, maybe we can talk about a very specific example of diversity. Diversity, for example, is a clear initiative of increasing diversity by 30%. So that's kind of the ask and the mandate that we have. And we have different ways to do it. Maybe an effective way is actually to investigate with data within our organization how many women are working and who are they, and asking those questions of why are they working for Ritchie Brothers. What came out from that was a beautiful storyboard of stories, quotes, selfies. And we're able to build and craft tagline that we call the "She Moves the World." And they from a mandate became a movement. And that's the beauty of it, is kind of discovering the superpowers of a woman working for Ritchie Brothers and learning more about our colleagues and we are. So the campaign was launched and we really tracked it with Google Analytics and different tools. And we actually reached 42% of increase within 2 months. We used LinkedIn, we used the highly targeted ads, so very specific audience in specific locations. But the beauty is that two things happened. Not only we were able to attract the right candidate and raise the awareness of what we do, but also internally, from a culture standpoint, burst silos and really have that communication between the employees and the rest of the organization. So this was a very interesting experience.
I can imagine heavy machinery and so on is a traditionally very male-dominated industry. What was it in these campaigns, in your initiative? What was the messaging to women? What was the hook for them?
It came from the heart. So it's human-centered. Mm. So instead of thinking of the need is to attract those very specific demographics, actually is to ask the woman, the organization, how does it feel to be in those shoes? And they will provide you amazing stories. Stories of going on fishing trips with some clients and better understanding of the business. The farming industry as well, you know, how it's like being brought up with the parents in a cottage and then suddenly finding Ritchie Brothers to be able to leverage their skills and really connect with their customers and talk to them and feel heard and being empowered. This is very exciting to see the smile on the face when they're really proud of the work they do. And it's just a privilege just to provide them a mic so that they can just share the story. And I think that's a little bit of the role, right, of employer branding is basically listening with our eyes and observing and learning from them and asking those questions. I think most companies have the ingredients, and it's a matter for us in the employer branding team to learn how to cook.
Absolutely. I think to give them the mic, the platform, and amplify it for sure. Have there been any other effects from this campaign? Have you found that men applying or interviewing with the company has had an impact on them as well?
For sure. It's the ability to, also for our customers, and it's the ability to see how global we are and diverse as a team. I think it's like a domino effect where you also have leaders in the organization that I would say it's affecting everyone in a very positive way for the goals, the initiative that we have, but also for the culture of the organization internally.
Great. And you mentioned integrating stakeholders earlier around the EUP work. I'm interested to know what stakeholders you got into this project or team to build EUP.
Yeah, so in employer branding, we are, I guess, hybrids between marketing and HR. So we've got a bit of both. And looking at the positives and the possibilities we have, it's really having, for example, the CMO sitting, you know, with the CHRO, sitting with the VP of diversity, and having a conversation, even if it's 30 minutes. Around, again, if it's about diversity, how might we empower women and talk about diversity and being very open and vulnerable again to discuss about those opportunities. So it's engaging them early when we craft the strategy. And then it's the ability to feel like they really own. They own that piece. So it's not just employer branding. In fact, we are there to support the other teams. It's about, you know, the marketing team and their brand guidelines and their team in social media, digital, and all the rest. It's about HR and the people. It's about, you know, combining forces and collaborating. Some organization will have a RACI or a way to align stakeholders and simply ask the question, is that true that this is what we are looking to achieve together? And what would be the best way to achieve those goals? What is our ideal and future state? You know, how do we see that? And then through those conversations together, it's becoming clear that we have a common purpose. And through that purpose, then we develop the plan. So the beauty of that is, every plan or every branding activity, you can measure, track, and evolve over time. That's the beauty of using platforms, is everything is trackable. So when we have a strategic roadmap, we're able to ensure continuous optimization. And that's what I love about this job, is that it's never the same. Every company is different, and the way we track the business needs are so different that it's like you are hired for a new job every time.
So you've been working on the EVP program, and then I also know you lead the employee core value group. How are those two connected, if at all? Did you draw on the values for the EVP, or did you draw on the EVP for the values?
It's a bit of both, because again, it came from a mandate to ask, those core values, is it top down, down top? How does it work, right? And the organization is so open. I've never seen any other organization that is so open to really talk. And what we did for the EVP is they gave us the mic and they gave us the ability to express what are those core values for us. How does it feel? We're a global organization, so you can think about Europe, where you are actually, and you think about the Emirates, you think about Mexico, all of those countries, and the ability to talk and engage and define or redefine what it means to be working here. Why do I come to work every single day? So there is an alignment with the EVP, but I think it's more genuine to enable employees to have this conversation. So for the leaders to be able to say, you know what, on the next town hall, we want you, the team, to present and to share what those core values mean. And when we did that, guess what? Our CFO and our CIO, our CEO, everyone came and shared the experience. So it's not just the employee, but you could see really the synergies with the leaders. And that is just phenomenal to see that we are working together. We are working together, and the leaders are empowering us to make that change. Again, it's by being vulnerable and say, you know, what are the things that are challenging and what are the things that we are working towards, and the transparency of that vision. So this is applicable to the EVP, because the EVP is a little bit different because it's very targeted to a very specific needs that is touching to the culture. We can track those. When it's about the culture, it's a little bit more different.
Right. So in your experience developing employer brand and these initiatives you've been running, I'm going to ask you two questions. One is, what's the biggest mistake you've made, which our listeners should avoid? And what's your best tip, which our listeners should follow?
The mistake is actually the best learning, to assume that we understand our client, or we understand the hiring manager. Having a candid... Again, being, I will come back to using empathy and really trying to put ourselves into the shoes of the other person to really, really understand what they are looking to achieve. What are the goals? What are the initiatives? And how can you support them? It seems to be very easy, and most of us are running towards solutions. And I think it's important to set some time or some space to identify clearly what we're trying to achieve. So the biggest mistake was to run faster than I could and to learn again how to listen, really listen. And I love that sentence of listening with your eyes, because it's really letting the other person sharing their challenge so that you can really support them. So that was a mistake that became now more of an engine of trust that is propelling us to work differently and collaborate better. And then the second question was the tip. It's very simple. It's basically that we don't know, and we need to be very open that there are different perspectives, and it's very important to understand the business. So for example, our business is so complex because we have different platforms, we have different teams, we are global, we have different offices. Do we really understand each other, how we work, in the different location, for example, different country, different culture, different language? How do we work together on a campaign? So it's instead of rushing towards execution, is really taking the time to identify, okay, what is current situation today? And what will be your ideal state, your ideal mindset that you want to get to reach your goal? And then really listening to them and say, okay, you know, this is what I'm struggling with, and here are my frustrations, and okay, what would it be? Would it make a difference if we were able to change the way we target, change platforms, or the way we advertise, or even not advertise at all, and simply do a referral plan internally? Would it make a difference? So having those discussions of brainstorming together, I think is the best tip, is because you burst silos and you are able to establish, again, trust between the teams and the ability to work better together.
Great. Comes back to your stakeholders again. Fantastic. All right. So you mentioned earlier, you were drawn to employer brand for a long time, and then you also talked about the reasons why people come to work every day. So let me turn the mic to you then, Thomas. What is it that makes your job the best in the world?
It's so simple to answer. I don't even have to think. It's just the people. I'll give you an example, right? You go to an organization and you walk, and you have the CFO that is walking past by. She will stop, smile, and ask, how are you doing, Thomas? Or you would have the CEO, you know, that, you know, you would have a town hall or conversation and would ask questions, and you raise your hand and you ask a tough question. And she listens and says, I don't have the answer now, but maybe someone in my team does. That is why I love my job. I love my job because of the people, and because it doesn't matter where you stand, whether you are at the C-level executive suite or you are working and a contributor, you have a voice, and people are really connecting. And that is something that I think that the organization does really, really well, and it's impossible to replicate.
Fantastic. Right. So my final question is, where can our listeners learn more about your work, and where can they connect with yourself?
LinkedIn. So we have a profile on LinkedIn. But I would turn the question to say, connect with yourself and really trying to connect with your team and connect with people around you, because you really know them and you really know what is meaningful to them. What is the purpose that I have coming to the office every single day, and how can you support them so that their job is a better place to be? That's the final, I think, thing is we have superpowers in our positions, because we're able to talk to so many different teams. And there is such an opportunity to be the explorer and to take it as an adventure to better understand each other. I don't think you have a lot of roles or job that would enable people to be that close to go deep into people's shoes or people's jobs. So a frustration is actually the best, the tension that you have, or the friction is actually the best moment to have a conversation and to connect. So with this COVID-19, there is no excuse. I mean, we can still have the Zoom calls and see each other and ask those questions. And you'll be very surprised that at all level, people are just humans. And they would love to share. It's just a matter of asking and framing the right questions.
True story. I love it. All right. Thank you so much for your time today, Thomas.
Thank you very much.
Okay, there we go. Thank you once again, Thomas, for sharing your insights there. And if you would like to subscribe to this podcast, you can do so at employerbrandingpodcast.com, as well as all the usual places such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Spotify. Now, if you're interested in measuring your organization's reputation as an employer, perhaps to get an audit for your activities this year or even for next year, do check out the Employer Brand Index, which is our approach to measuring your organization's reputation as an employer, as seen from candidates, employees, and alumni. So that's employerbrandindex.co. And that was it for this week. Thank you again for tuning in, and look forward to catching up next time. Hey,
Bruce Lee said something amazing. He said, you don't just do things, you apply them. Again, if we just learn again how to be in that learning mindset, like Bruce Lee did, that would be just a different world.